Well, as you know, the Lord has put on my heart to get into the study of Revelation. And I thank God that there have been faithful ones that have gone, obviously, before us to bring forth this word. I believe one of the very first times it was presented to me was Sweet Brother Copley in his book on Revelation. And they do have that book available for you, and books available for you that some of the ones, Sister Bodie, Brother Copley, had done in years past. And there's a link through our website as well, too, to get onto Grace and Glory's website. And they'll be happy to send you that as well, too. So I want you to know there are many means of God's Word expounded to us and such enlightenment that went on in that life. But I appreciate, really, at the time I was really being dealt with about going on with God, really going on with God. You know, by the grace of God, selling out for Jesus, as you hear. And it's a wonderful thing to go with Him. But I was 17 and Brother Joe Burge brought the book of Revelation to me. And I know it was via the Holy Spirit. Because I began to see things, I began to understand things. But in starting this study tonight, the realization truly was of Paul's epistle. And his epistles and Paul's wonderful dispensation and the mystery that was given to him. Paul received the inward revelation. I hope we understand that. Paul received the inward revelation. Brother John, who wrote this, and this is the same Apostle John, that wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Again, the Holy Spirit wrote it via God. And then through John. But this wonderful message came to us, and this was the outward revelation that was given to John. And it's imperative, it is absolutely imperative for us to really grasp the things of Revelation to understand Paul's doctrine. It says to follow Paul as he followed Christ. There's reasons that the Bible tells us things like that. There's reasons that it said that I have given that mystery to my brother to bring forward to you. And you have to think about it too as I was preparing for this. Do you realize that Paul never had the opportunity because he didn't live long enough to read Revelation? Did you know that? I hope most of you do, but if you didn't, that's fine too. So you'd say, well, then why didn't Paul, who has expounded all of this truth and had so much given to him, why did he not get revelation? Obviously, it was God's will. But I believe to me it just showed that this was the man that finished his course. This was the man by the grace of God that kept the faith. This is the man by the grace of God that said, there is a crown laid up for me. It's mine. I have finished it. The very person, and the only person I know recorded through the Word of God that truly was able to say that by grace that I have finished the course. I have won him. Hallelujah. And you know, if you study a little bit about Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4, Paul, in spirit, entered paradise by the grace of God and was shown many things. And he was shown things, it says, that weren't lawful for him to utter. Amen. Lawful for him to even write down. So I am confident by the grace of God that Paul saw everything he needed to see. Now this isn't an excuse for us to say, well, I don't need to see Revelation then either. No, God gave it to us. And we're going to read here in the first verses that it says, blessed are ye that get into this book. Blessed is me by the grace of God to expound these words. Blessed are you by the grace of God to listen, to study, and to rejoice together as the Holy Spirit would bring this forth to us. It's a mighty thing. Praise His name. So, again, Paul, his epistles. How many times did we hear it from Brother Hill? There's a reason for it. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to remain forever. It's in the Word. You want to be inspired? Inspired meaning in spirit? Get in the Word of God. Everything else might give you a thrill for a moment, but it'll leave you. It's in the Word of God. So by His grace, we're going to open up and feast in the book of Revelation. And we'll begin reading. And the Lord has put on my heart just before we begin to not that we're going to race through this, but I believe the Lord has encouraged me that we're going to try to move through this. There's many chapters, there's many things to say, but I am hopeful that we continue to have a very good grasp upon Paul's dispensation about the mystery that was given to Paul, and this will come forward easily. I really believe it. Trust God. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you as we're going through this. But I also want you to know I'm always available by His grace to answer any questions. If there's any other thoughts or things of that nature, call me. I actually have all my phone numbers in the book. It's a surprise to some, but I really do. So you can call me, and believe it or not, you usually can get me. The only time is when I have an appointment with the Lord and I shut it off. So here we go in chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And see, that to so many people right there is just a surprise. We always hear revelation. This is the revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is who this is about. And so wonderful that this is a revelation by His grace that we're going to partake in. Everyone is going to partake into this some way. Did you know that? It talks about every single person in this book that has walked the face of this earth. That's why there's some people that will read this and will be in complete fear. I read this by the grace of God and I can't control myself because I realize what He has laid up for me. I'm getting in the Spirit by the grace of God. And those things that eye has not seen nor ear has heard or entered into the thoughts or intents or hearts of men or whatever it may be, you know what? The Spirit's revealing them to me. I'm seeing them by the grace of God. And He's bringing me forward. Hallelujah. In spite of the darkness in this world, hallelujah, we're shining brighter every day because of Him. Praise God. All right. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants, that's us, the things which must shortly come to pass. And the coming of the Lord is soon. We know that. Now, He's been away for a couple thousand years, people start to say, oh, well, where is He? Where's your Jesus? And all that. And that's the time He's going to come anyways. Look, they're questioning the Bible all over TV and all the books we've talked about. And, you know, I don't even want to go there. It's such an insult. And I'm so sorry and so sad to see some of these churches in the town that are advertising, well, we're going to, you know, stand in defense of the Da Vinci Code or this and that. Never preach the Word. We don't need gimmicks. We need the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, if that doesn't get your heart, then nothing will. And if it doesn't get your heart and something else is, it's the wrong thing. This is how you're going to grow. You're going to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to trust Him for it. But again, where this says shortly must come to pass, this truly is interpreted that when they begin, they are going to happen swiftly. I'm going to tell you, that week of tribulation, it's going to come on them and it's going to come fast. It's going to be sudden destruction. All the different things that come in there. It's a wonderful thing. It's going to be in a twinkling of an eye that's going to set the whole thing off, which is by the glory of God that we're going to be raptured together with Him in the air by His grace if we're ready and watching and loving His appearing. But it says, so these things will swiftly happen. And He sent and signified. Signifies means to make known. And if you get in the Greek again, it means to be made known by the Holy Spirit. You cannot get away from it, brothers and sisters. This is the Comforter. And God has been dealing with me so much again about the actual Comforter and what that word comfort means. And why is He such a Comforter? Because He brings all the truth. When you really get into the truth, when you really get into, by the grace of God, into the meat of His Word, isn't that a satisfying thing? Think when you're sitting at a table and you just have such a great steak. I had one the other night and it was so satisfying. I was just so thrilled. I said, oh, this is fine. And my sweet wife, she cooked that for me. But this is what God does for us every single moment. It doesn't matter, like the Lord's been showing us. It doesn't matter what land we're in. It doesn't matter about, as we'll read about tonight, the environment. Or actually on Sunday, Lord willing, I'll give you a little hint. It's not in the environment. It's in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. And you'll see there's a big difference about that. Everything happens in the atmosphere by grace of God. And I want that atmosphere of His Spirit all in my life. Now, it was signified it by His angel. Now, a lot of people, again, get confused to things about angel. When they hear angel and, you know, how we read in Hebrews, how men will get over to worshiping angels and things of that nature. In this wonderful book of Revelation, when we see the word angel, and the word angel actually means messenger. All right? And there are angels that are human, believe it or not, and there are angels that are non-human, thinking like Michael and Gabriel and those. So in this case and throughout the book of Revelation, this messenger is a human. And I'll give you a couple verses and we'll go read one. But you'll read in Revelation 17:1, and let's go over to Revelation 19:10. So you get a good idea of who this is that's showing John around here. And who this brother, or I should say sister is, we don't know, but it says a brother in here. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This is the one that's been taking John around and showing him all these things. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. See, this fellow servant that was showing him all these things that must come to pass, he was so like Christ, he had to worship him. Hallelujah. I was reading again in the Song of Solomon. Go look at the traits between the bridegroom and the bride after they start describing one another. How similar they are. When she's ready and fully of age, it's a beautiful thing. The countenance is very similar. Christ in me, the hope of glory. What do you think, huh? You think Jesus is trying to tell us something here? Praise God. But I fell at his feet to worship. And he said to me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So isn't that precious? This is a brother in Christ. And I'm sure most of you have addressed this before or maybe looked at this as well too. But what a wonder. What a wonder. And this is some time in time. Remember, we're going to talk about this. This is at the Lord's Day. Now, who could that be? I'll get really strange on you, but I don't want to do that. But I'll just be spiritually thinking. This is in a future time. Who's bringing him around? Huh? You know, I mean, you just think of that. And it's precious how God could use whatever he wants to. Again, his ways are past finding out. Hallelujah. But it's by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God. Look at that. See, there's no holding back. He bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all these things that he saw. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful when we have people that are encouraged? And you have to remember where John was at this time. He was put in exile. But we're going to read that he was put in exile not by man. He was put there by God. And he was put there by God because God had a message for him to get. And it just so happened that the only place that God could get that message for him to get was in that isle in exile. Isn't that wonderful? So remember, be attentive, be listening, be instant in prayer. Just be thinking about the things that God wants to do in your life and believe him. Believe him. When you've committed your life to him, he's got you exactly where you need to be. Do you trust him for that? I get up every day. I was encouraging actually my natural brother back in San Francisco. He's going through some things, and really it's just the enemy that's kind of saying, well, it's not going this way today and this way today. And I said, brother, I said, come on now. We don't want to live like that. You're holy as I am holy, as he is holy. Hallelujah. Let's start living the grace of God. Let's start living the knowledge of God. Let's start living the very power of God. And it can start right now. And I get up today, if Jesus is going to let me live till tomorrow, sometimes today I didn't feel like it, but if he lets me live until tomorrow, by his grace, I'm going to get up, and his strength is going to be sufficient for that day. And I'm going to trust him that wherever I go, the people that I meet, the things that he has me do, I'm going to be under his keeping, and he's going to lead me through that day. And that's what we want to have by the grace of God. All right. It says here in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Again, this is a blessing. We are called blessed of what we're doing here tonight by God himself. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I don't think anybody could pay me a bigger compliment. If President Bush got on the TV and said, wow, you know, you were a really good guy today, I bet you'd start feeling pretty good. This is very God of very God. This is God. And blessed are we at this moment entering in the name of Jesus before his throne to rightfully divide the word of truth. This is what he thinks of us. So contrary to what many people think about Revelation, oh, that's a little bit beyond us. God gave it to us, but it was, you know, it was a sick joke. And it's not for another time. I mean, it's just to scare you. Come on now. Look what God himself wrote in these words to us that we hear and understand and read and keep the things and keep them. See, there's a keepsake in this by the grace of God. This isn't something that we just read. This isn't something that we just sit around about and, you know, wonder about when the apocalypse is going to happen. And there's many Christians that get in that. There's so many books. And I appreciate that the Word of God has given us so many signs and different things that will happen. The rumor of war. Yes, the love of many will wax cold. And everybody seems to concentrate on that. How about concentrating on the bride has made herself ready? Huh? How about knowing in my heart that it could be any moment? Hallelujah. That's the completion that I'm ready for. I sure don't know when that war is going to break out. I sure don't know when that Antichrist is going to come up to be and all of that type of thing. But I'll tell you what, He's playing the strings of my heart and I feel like it could be any moment for me. What do you think? That's the bride has made herself ready. It's wonderful to be aware of this and what's going on in a sense, but I want to be aware of what He's doing in my life. And that's going to give me the peace and satisfaction. And you'll see here again that the time is at hand. And I did quote that verse, that's Revelation 19:7, where it does say, the bride has made herself ready. Amen. That is what by His grace, really the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, this is what this is crying out to me. This is, I believe, what's crying out to us. The bride has made herself ready. This revelation of Jesus Christ, this Lord's Day that we're going to talk about, Lord willing, here in just a moment, this is about when Christ is taking His throne with His bride. That's what the ages are about. That's when, by the grace of God, you talk about the infinite glory, the infinite grace. That's when it's going to begin. All right, let's get into verse 4. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. The number 7, we're going to go back to many times throughout Revelation. And the number 7 speaks of spiritual perfection and spiritual completion. The full maturity. Hallelujah. And this was to the 7 churches that were in Asia at this time. And basically at this time where John was talking about, these were the main churches that were out there that had any form of Christianity in them. Now, Lord willing, we'll get into chapters 2 and 3, and it's going to expound more and more on every single one of these churches, from Ephesus all the way to Laodicea, and there's 7 of them. And what this represents is the state of Christianity at this time. Okay? And you're going to see that the state at this time is represented by the saints of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're going to see that in the Philadelphia church. Hallelujah. And I hope that we have a bunch of Philadelphia saints right here. And I believe that we have a vision of it. And by the grace of God, let Him complete that faith in us. But then at the other end of the spectrum is that we have the church of Laodicea, as we will talk about. They're neither hot nor cold, it'll say. And God just spews them out of His mouth. Basically, pure apostasy has set in. A complete departure from the things of God. And you can see where Christianity truly has, and the Bible talks about it, a form of godliness anymore. But they deny the power thereof. Turn on the TVs anymore. It's really sad. You hear these big churches, these people that have had different pastors throughout the ages that truly brought the Word of God. Oh, now they're big and giant. And you know what? They don't preach the doctrine anymore. Because the people don't want the doctrine anymore. Sure, the people don't want the doctrine anymore. God told me that 2,000 years ago, that the people aren't going to want the doctrine anymore. They didn't want it back then. They're not going to want it today. They're going to have itching ears. Sure they do. How could they pack thousands upon thousands in them places? Huh? Because they have an itching ear. But you know what? They just want to believe a lie. That's all they want to believe. See, they're after man's philosophy. They're after the vain deceit. There's an emptiness in us that we think, and really what it is just self-righteousness. How are we going to self-improve me? That's what it comes down to. Realize this, brothers and sisters. God is preparing us and prepares us a table every day. And it's a spread like none other. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing else. And when God prepares food, it's perfect. And you know what? You just go. By the grace of God. And He even draws you, which is so wonderful. He draws you there. But by the grace of God, I want to show up, I want to eat, and I want to eat in thanksgiving with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the fellowship that I want to enter into. It's about Jesus. It's about His Word. Again, heaven and earth are going to pass away. They're going to pass away. But the Word of God is going to remain forever. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So here's our 7 churches. It says, grace be unto you and peace. And so many times throughout the Word of God, we see that wonderful salutation from Paul to these different ones. You will never have peace without grace. You just can't. It doesn't happen. It won't happen. Again, we've talked about this world. They would love to have peace, wouldn't they? Oh, they would love peace. And they're going to cry peace and safety someday, but it's going to be a false peace. And then sudden destruction. We'll read about that as well too. And I believe it's just on the wing. But you'll see that this grace is so important Because that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is peace. It's the only thing that's going to give you peace. That's why people caught up into thinking that they can lose their salvation. That there's something that they can earn from God in order to win Christ as their bridegroom even. There are people that believe that they're eternally secure, but they believe that on the way to the bride, it has to have something in them happen in order for the perfection to go on in their life. Paul even said, "Oh, ye foolish Galatians, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect in the flesh?" Amen. Come on now. Amen. Don't frustrate the grace of God. It's a simple thing, isn't it? It's free and it's a gift. And I don't know how else he could explain it. He said it over and over in the Word of God. I come and I get it. And when I come and I get it and I know it's for me and I know it's going to be there every single time, I've got peace. I've got absolute peace. It's there for me to enter into. It's there for me to go and get at any moment. Hallelujah. Any moment for me. And I praise God. That's where the throne room is. That's why it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Obtain that help and that mercy and that grace in the time of need. You need it all the time. Go get it. Hallelujah. And this is what he's talking about here. So again, we get the peace from him, which is, and which was, and which is to come. Now these three here, this which is, which was, and which is to come here, this is the triune God. This is the Trinity calling out for this, because we're going to see in verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ. So there's two different entries here as it's talking about. Remember here, we're dealing with a Godhead. You know that? I want you to understand that. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. They just move perfectly. It's like the Comforter that is God the Holy Spirit that's visiting us today. That's visiting us, I know. Not because of me or you. He's visiting us tonight. Because we've entered into the name of Jesus. I'm entered into the confidence in Him that He has sent this Comforter to expound the truth in a mighty way. And I'm here to receive it by the grace of God. And I believe many of you are here tonight too. So that's what we're here about. But this is from the triune God that's saying this. And it says, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. And very interesting about these seven spirits here. This is, again, for the spiritual perfection. It's for the spiritual completion. And it was sent to all the churches. That's the one thing I want you to notice. And I think how perfectly, again, how God got us right out of Colossians. And what's the last thing we studied about last week? Who did Paul cry out to more than anybody? The church of Laodicea, didn't he? And you're going to find that that's the one that's just about ready to go. It's the one that's left it. It's the one that's neither hot nor cold, complete apostasy. Paul was after them. Jesus Christ was after them. Jesus Christ said, I would that all men be saved. And what? Come to a full knowledge of the truth. What do you think the number seven represents? I think spiritual perfection and spiritual completion is the full knowledge of the truth. How about you? I don't think it could be anything else. He's after that in His people today. And you know what? We're going to find that this bride comes out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. She's in there. She's in there. Because it's the heart that God's looking at. Hallelujah. So again, don't be quick to judge about different things. God knows the work that's going on. And again, so wonderful here too about these seven spirits. If you go to, and we won't turn there, I just make a note of this. In Isaiah 11:2, you'll see that there was a sevenfold spirit that was given to Jesus Christ. And the sevenfold spirit that was given to Him was the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And again, you go over there. I know I said those somewhat quickly. Don't fret. It's in the Word of God. It's in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. So just make note of that. And you can, the Lord can expound that on there. I want you to understand, we could sit here. I hope you know this. And some of you are panicking when I'm ever going to get out of Shepherd's Psalm. But you could take one verse and we could be here the rest of the ages. I'm just going to tell you. Not because my knowledge or yours, it's just because of the Spirit. It's beyond our depth. And we can have sermon after sermon. And again, just even in that sevenfold Spirit, think of all the things. But this wisdom, this understanding, this counsel, this might, this knowledge, the fear of the Lord, all of those things, Christ, through those Spirit, those seven spirits, is visiting us today to get us ready. Brothers and sisters, there's a reward going on. I hope you understand that. You are being judged right now. Okay? The judgment of heaven or hell someday, that's going to be someday. The judgment of your reward and Christian's reward is going on right now. And God is sending His Son, and you're going to see Him walking through these candlesticks here in a moment. And the precious thing is He's judging. Is your life wood, hay, and stubble? Or is it going to be gold and silver and precious stone? You know the Word of God, what happens to the wood, hay, and stubble, doesn't it? It just burns up. But hallelujah, you're still saved. You could waste it, you could squander it all away. But why do that? I want a full reward. I want to get, by the grace of God, everything that He has for me. And it gets sweeter every single moment. He just transcends you right out of here. And I'm telling you, I'm being transcended right out of here today. You don't know how bad I was feeling, and I thank the God He's coming in. So hallelujah for that. Praise Him. See, nothing's impossible for Him, and we trust Him no matter. All right, verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ. Oh, praise His name. You know, here you got the triune God. You knew He's part of that. Amen. But you know what? It's all in His Son. He said, we just got to step back here a little bit because we want you to show you who it's all in. It's all in my Son. Everything we say or do is in the name of Jesus. And it's there you're going to find the comfort. It's there you're going to find the peace. It's there you're going to find wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all of those things. It's in Him. Praise His name. Praise His name. And this is who He is to us. Praise Him. Who is the faithful witness? This represents that He is the prophet. He came here on this earth and He was the faithful prophet to us. And then He was the first begotten of among the dead. This is the priest. Yes, He became. So wonderful. Again, how perfect God. I just think as we're studying this, I hope you understand, I didn't plan this out. How come we just came out of Hebrews? He's our priest and king and all of those things. And our Redeemer and our sacrifice. See, God is perfect. And as He was giving this to me, it was just so sweet. I've studied this many, many times. I have given this study many times to the young people across the way. Over 20 years, I believe we would start it every 3 years. Just so the new ones would always get it. And the Lord would always bring it in a different way. And I will tell you, this is totally, in a sense, there's a lot of those same truths. But again, He just continues to open it. It's like that onion, you know, it's just layer after layer after layer. And it truly is endless. Thank you, Jesus. So, again, He is the first begotten of the dead. This is our priest. This is the one who brought us, hallelujah, the new creation, that caused us to be the new creation, hallelujah. In believing in Him, we have become new. Old things are passed away. It's gone. Do you realize that? See, that's why the Word of God tells you to reckon it dead. Reckon it dead. You're living a lie, living the things that are of the flesh. It truly is. God, He's brought you out of it. He seated you in the heavens in Christ Jesus. I believe He's brought me out of it. Are we going to live out of it? That's the choice. We have a call to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's now. It's now. That's why David, by the grace of God, was the man after his own heart. It's now. That's why the storms can come. The sea can be in front of me. And you know what? I praise Him. He's going to part it. He's going to part it every day. And for some people, and for me sometimes, just getting up in the morning. I'm telling you, just getting up in the morning is a parting of a Red Sea. Realize how much He loves you. Realize what He does for you. Again, God, get me away from myself. I am what I am by the grace of God. All right. And then we have the Prince of the Kings of the earth. This is Jesus the King. Hallelujah. He is the King of Kings. And someday He is going to be King of it all. Praise Him. So there we go there. Now it continues the description of Him. Unto Him that loved us. Isn't that so sweet? Here He is telling us what He did and all of these types of things. Now this is, again, how personal He is to me. How personal He is to you. I so appreciate that about my Lord. He's my shepherd. You know? He's mine. And I know you're saying, oh, well, He's mine too. Aren't you glad He's omnipresent? We'd have a big fight. He's mine. You'd see those people sometimes fighting over a girl, the girl's fighting over a man. That's kind of silly stuff. We don't have to fight over Jesus. We just rejoice with Him because He satisfies us all. Talk about the greatest lover there's ever been. I better stop myself. Okay. All right. So unto Him that loved us, and as He loved us, that's our Savior. Your Savior loves you. Love put Him on the cross. Amen. Love put Him there. Oh, the joy that was set before Him. Do you see that He sees you? He sees you. He sees you. That's who He saw. He saw you, every one of us individually. Well, how could He do that? He's God. It was for me. If it was for one person, if I were the only one, if you were the only one that was a believer, He would have come and He would have died. Amen. That's why, by the grace of God, I appreciate we come. I appreciate that people come out and hear the Word of God. I wish more would come. But you know what? If I'm just here, I appreciate that story about the pastor that came and he was going to give the lesson and all that. There was nobody out there. But there just so happened to be a drunk that was down beyond the last pews and he couldn't see him out there. And he was just awakening up. And he went ahead and preached his whole sermon to nobody, he thought. He was preaching it before the Lord. He was preaching it before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. There were people standing. I hope he could have seen it in his heart. But see, we're limited in a sense, but let's not get limited. Let's live the impossible and the overwhelming abundance of His glory. And He gave that message. That was so precious, wasn't it? And then how many years later did that man come back to Him? He told him about that day, and that man became a pastor. And one of the greatest pastors that this world has ever seen. He led so many to the Lord. Because that man came out there and he did what the Lord wanted him to do. Not what his eyes saw what he should do. Not what he felt maybe of the disappointment that he should do. He did what God wanted him to do. Isn't that awesome? See, we can do those types of things when we're inspired in this love of our Savior. Okay, and then He washed us from our sins. This is my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Complete washing. All things new. In the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west. You know, it's just gone. Never to be remembered again. He forgot them. I always appreciate how the Lord again has given me such a sweet vision of Him. I'm sitting on His knee. And I'm saying, I'm sorry, Lord. And He's just loving on me. And He says, son, I don't even know what you're talking about. But thank you for loving me too. Yep, God's just a smiling as I'm cuddling up to His Son. All right, and hath made us kings, oh my, and priests unto God and His Father. Now the only one that can make you that is just even if you go and you look in the back in England and all of that, it was the Lord that could do that. They had to crown Him, they had to anoint Him, they had to do all those things. This is your King, hallelujah. This is your Lord that makes us these priests and kings before Him. Realize, again, brothers and sisters, love one another. I'm telling you. I was telling a brother in there just here today that came in to visit. I said, he's asking me about giving out the Word of God and just being a minister, teacher, whatever. And he's just kind of asking, you know, from my great experience. He prepares me, though. Hallelujah. But I said, yes, I heard the calling of the Lord. Heard it very clearly. And He said to me very clearly, son, I want you to have this, but you don't have to take it. I want you to be the vessel that I'll fill and what a reward it'll be for you if you'll do it willingly. And I'm going to tell you, it was clear as that. It really was. I mean, in my heart that spoke to me that day that the Lord caused me to say, I will go. Okay? And by the grace of God, now I live every day. They that preach the Word should also live the Word, or preach the Gospel should live of the Gospel. And I want to live that life as well, too. See, God will use us sometimes even in spite of us, huh? Yep. But I want to get that reward all the way through. I don't want to have no wasted time for me. I want that reward by His grace. But you see, in that, there's a love that the Lord continues to put on your heart. And I don't know if you remember a time, I don't even remember the day. But I was preaching about a couple months into the way. And the Lord just hit me up here and He said, I'm your pastor. I'm your pastor. And I can't tell you the love that hit me at that moment. And it's just been increasing at an ever-increasing rate. I can't tell you. It's just God. And I'm just telling you before my Lord that that's exactly what it is. But see, the Lord comes in this wonderful Lord, and He makes you that priest and that king. And a good priest and a good king loves his people. Amen. They love one another. So that's why I say, do good to your brother and sister. Don't back away from things. Remember, cover. The ones that are spiritual, cover that sin. Go unto them. Try to be the salve in the life and not something that's going to hurt it and stick it and poke at it and expose it. Be the salve. Hallelujah. This is what God is through His Son to us. And it says, to Him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. And I appreciate that because someday we're going to share in this. It says, behold, He comes in the clouds. Or He comes with the clouds. And the clouds throughout this wonderful word in the Bible you'll read, signifies the saints that will be with Him. Hallelujah. We're going to be with Him at a different time. This isn't the cloud. Well, we could be part of this, and I'll explain why. But I hope to be, hallelujah, in another cloud. But if He chooses this one for me, in a sense, as a full overcomer, I want to be in this one. But it says that He is coming, hallelujah, with the clouds. And these clouds are the prior resurrected saints. These are the ones that have already went before us. Oh, and hallelujah, now look at this. And every eye shall see Him. Now the every eye are the saints that are looking for Him. Now I would hope that all of us today are the every eye saints. You want to be every eye? Did you know that the four living creatures that we're going to read about here, Lord willing, if Jesus tarry, are full of eyes? What do you think they have their eyes on? Anything but the Lord? Why do you need so many? Because you need all of Jesus. You need as much of Him as you can get. There's a perfect vision. Hallelujah. And it's in your wondrous Savior. Thank you, God, for that, that we have come to that kind of realization in Him. And then you'll see here, hallelujah, that also they which pierced Him. The ones that pierced Him here represents the Jewish nation. They're going to see Him as well, too. I pray, and I was, again, speaking with a dear friend of mine who's Jewish today. And Lord willing, I'm led again to go out to see him maybe in a couple weeks. He's not doing well. I'm so burdened for that man to receive the Lord. The Lord has just put that on my life. I've known him for years, and he's one of the dearest people to me. I just love him so, but he needs Jesus. Such a good man. Such a wonderful man. So, person that has been as good to me as very few people. But he needs Jesus, because it isn't going to mean a lick. It's not. All it's going to mean is you denied my son. And I don't want to see anybody, but especially the people I know and love, in certain companies that are going to be cast into an eternal lake of fire. That's what it is. That's what it is. So it gets serious here too, doesn't it? Hallelujah. It's all serious. Praise His name. But this is the Jewish name. And then a nation. And then all kindreds of the earth shall well. Now, these are crying. They're fearful here. And why are they? Because these are the non-believers. You better wail. Because of Him. Not because of anything else. Because they finally realized it was Him. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. Hallelujah. It's coming. There's going to be perfect judgment out there. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is going to be glorified in everything. There is hell and all that, and everybody says, oh, that's an awful place. Sure, it's an awful place. But the place appointed for hell is the lake of fire. And when that is all cast in there, and God didn't want one person to ever go there. But when that happens, and there will be people that will go there, there's people that their time is done because they're already on the other side. Yep. They're done. And when they line up before that great right throne, and it says, and they're going to be judged according to their works. And let me tell you something, you never want to be judged according to your works. And if you're a Christian here today, you are not going to be judged according to your works because you're guilty. You're guilty. We will not stand before the great white throne. No matter what mixed up preacher will tell you, you will never stand before that throne. You will be ruling by the grace of God and reigning with Him. I want to be bringing judgment with Him. Not in the sense that, oh, I want to be the big guy and have the big stick and all that kind of stuff. Because I want to love with Him. I want to bring this glory that's going to magnify Him. And when He casts that hell into the lake of fire, He's going to be magnified. Justice will happen. And it will be. It'll be a sad time. But I'm going to tell you something. Look at what our brother said here. It says here, they pierced Him and all kindreds of the earth shall well because of Him. Even so. Amen. There's no sympathy there. There just isn't. It breaks my heart when people don't want to go with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, when it gets to the end of the day and I'm looking in the face of my Lord Jesus, I said, sorry, I have no sympathy for you. Do you realize what this man did? Do you realize what he did? We don't even realize what he did, but we just believe it. We can't fully grasp it. But as we go on with him, hallelujah, I can live that suffering. I can pick up that cross, hallelujah. And he bears it for me, but I got to be willing to go to get it, hallelujah. I'm going to suffer with him by his grace. And he's going to bring me through, hallelujah. And he's going to make them know that he has loved us as we go on to this. All right. And it says here, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I think he's telling us he's I am everything. I want us to look up a couple verses that we read not too long ago in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Thank you, Lord. And it says here in chapter 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created, this is your Jesus, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. See, again, I don't have to worry about creation. I can't even think of the word. What is that thing where the jelly flips up and gets on the ground and goes on there and all that? There you go. See, it's a bad word and I don't even want to think about it. We'll have to pray for my brother. All right. Appreciate you, man. But that's that evolution. This just told me anything that's ever been seen and all that, he created it. He just spoke it. Done. He that cometh to him must believe that he is. It's that simple. He's the best thing going. He's the only thing going. And I'm just going to tell you, everything points to him. Every other religion I know, I'm safe. Every other religion I know that's apart from Christianity is guilty. You know what I'm saying by that? Because by the grace of God, God's made me a pretty good person, in a sense, according to their religion. I realize I'm wicked. I realize that there's nothing about me that seeks God naturally. I realize that I've come short of the glory of God. I realize that I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Huh? But I realize that in Him, hallelujah, I'm perfect. I am. That little baby when it came out, I don't know. I don't ever met a parent. My baby's perfect. Huh? God's babies are perfect. They are. Now, by the grace of God, they just need to grow up. Grow up. A lot of people say, oh, I know a lot of God's children. I know some people in here. They're sure not perfect. Before God, they sure are. He ain't going to see anything over there in the heavens in Christ Jesus that ain't perfect. You get it? Hope we do. Hope we do. It's just what age you're going to go over there at. Huh? I want to go over there fully mature. I want to participate and be in the wedding party. Hallelujah. The bride. Praise His name. All right. For by Him, and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Oh my. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So this is our Almighty. Okay. Let's go on for just a few minutes. I thought we were going to get through a little further, but I think the Lord's definitely had His way here, and we'll continue on. In verse 9, it says, I, John, who also am your brother. And I think this is so important. There's just so many things that are important in here. Is this isn't he was my brother. He is my brother. I am your brother. John is everlasting. Do you understand that? Brother Hill is everlasting. I'm everlasting. Hallelujah. Praise God. He has given me that life. This brother, via God, via the Holy Spirit, is expounding the truth. And he's my companion. God has made him my companion. We're of a body together. And I'm going to tell you how to save yourself a lot of hurt and a lot of harm and a lot of things. Start listening and realizing what your brothers, the closest brothers and sisters you'll ever have, more so than even your blood, went through. Did you get it? I hope you're listening here, because this is important. It can save you so much heartache. They went that way. Now God, in His infinite mercy, came and, yes, amen, He knew the heart, and He would bring them into that fellowship no matter. But you know what? There was a lot of pain and agony that really didn't need to be there along the way. What do you think? I don't want to live that. I want to live the joy of the Lord as my strength. I don't want to be going out there and thinking that these are the things that I need to be putting in my life. It's God again. Okay, so he is my brother. He's my companion. In tribulation and in the kingdom of patience. And again, only in tribulation and patience are we ever going to inherit the kingdom. And whose kingdom is it? Hallelujah, of Jesus Christ. Was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, those men thought they put him out there for something else, didn't they? Huh? What do you think? Read David's Psalms about all those pits that were dug for him, and they were out for his life, and they were this. Hey, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. He's got you. He's got you. Don't fret. Don't fret. And I hope you understand, God is speaking to me in such a big way. He's got me. Hallelujah. Now I just want to apprehend him. How's that? There we go. But again, he was set there for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. What do you think you're set in your life for? Anything but the word of God? Come on. Well, he's given me this. It's a hard thing, a hard test in my body. He set you there for the word of God. Do you believe it? Huh? I got a son or daughter that's not doing right. By the grace of God, I'm trusting him. I'm doing the things in my life that I need to be putting before me. He set me there because of the word of God. Those are hard things. It's everything. If he be for me, who can be against me? It says that he won't withhold anything good from my life. I've got to enter into faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And it's going to confuse my mind and it's going to hurt me. All right. It says here, I was in spirit. And I think we'll end with this verse. So important here. I was in spirit, not the spirit. In the Greek translation, the word the is not there. And you really have to think about this. I would hope that a Christian would always be in the spirit. What do you think? I want to live my life in the spirit. How about you? I do. You know all that is? Worshipper. Yep, worshipper. Spirit and truth. And God's seeking such to worship him. The true worshipper that worships in spirit and in truth. Okay. So again, he was in spirit on the Lord's day. Now this can be so confusing to so many. Now, John will be brought into five different viewpoints throughout Revelation. And what I mean by viewpoints, he's put into the future. He's put into a certain place within the tribulation, the millennium, whatever that would be. And God is allowing him to have that viewpoint. Okay? So this is the very first viewpoint. And this viewpoint is so important and kind of sets the whole thing off. This is on the Lord's day. Now, any other Christian you talk to about the Lord's day, they're going to say, oh, well, that's Sunday. Well, how silly to think that just one day of the week is the Lord's day, I think, don't you? I think it's, I wrote down a little note here, and Brother Copley brought this, is Psalms 118. Where is that here? My wife told me I write too small, and I think I finally did. All right. But Psalms 118, it goes on to expound. I can't think of the verse. I can only think of the chapter, and you can go there and find it yourself. It says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice, be glad, and be happy in it. Let's just get into that and love it. Huh? That's every single day. It's His, okay? Now, going a little bit further, though, on this. We live, unfortunately, in a sense, but it's for a reason. Again, God has us here to expound to us the Word of His Son. We live in man's day. And I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 4:3 with me. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Hold on a second here. 1 Corinthians 4:3, that's right. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. And I think I wrote the wrong verse down. I did. See? It was getting a little bit late in the day. Does any of the brothers or sisters know where that is? It's in 1 Corinthians 4. I know it is. But basically it says there, and I'll go back and expound it to you a little bit more perfectly, and I apologize, but I'm going to trust God for it, and there's reasons for it, and I hope you still love me. But it talks about in the Word of God that we live in man's day. It's a wicked day. It's a dark day. And it is. And I'm going to tell you that God is going to have a day, and it's going to be Jesus' day. It's going to be the Lord's day. And I want you to see here what the significance or what the sign of that day is, which is so precious. The Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice. This is the voice no other than of Jesus Christ and of a trumpet. Now, let's turn with me over here to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. And we'll read from the 13th verse. This, brothers and sisters, is the sound of the trumpet. Okay? The Lord says He's coming again. And He's going to appear to them a second time. And He's going to appear again a third time. He's going to appear some more, and you're going to see all the appearings that He has here. But I want to be ready for the second time. How about you? I want to be looking and loving His appearing. It says there, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. These are the ones that have gone on before us, that have passed away. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive. Oh, and hallelujah, that is the same alive, the same exact word in the Greek that we're going to see that are the four living ones. And this is the alive, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, hallelujah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And again, that word alive, brothers and sisters, those are the four living creatures that we are going to read about, that the Lord is going to expand to us, God willing, throughout this revelation. They are the ones that are ready. They are the ones that are the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John types, from the King, to the servant, to the man, to the eagle. They are Christ-like. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory, has fully matured in that life. These are the ones that will take place in that. So here we have the definition, the explanation of what the Lord's Day means. The Lord's Day is going to begin when that trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. The bride will be taken. She's ready. She's fully ready. Time is over for the bridal time. That's it. They're up and they're gone. Hallelujah. Now then, that day continues on and is manifest and is magnified at the end of the tribulation, when God will get up from the throne and He'll give it to His Son Jesus and His bride. That's the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is a glorious day. All right, let's pray. And I appreciate you listening and bearing with me this evening. And thank you, Jesus, again, in your wondrous name, for the word of truth and love. Lord, only you can expound it the way it needs to be, and we'll just trust you that it came forth in that form of love and truth that's pleasing to you. And thank you for being here. Thank you for enabling us, Lord. And we ask that you be with these people, and we ask that you be with all those that aren't here this evening. And Lord, just again, just a special touch of peace and power on the Baker's lives this evening, Lord God. Just rise Sister Debbie up. Let her just experience by your stripes that she's healed. Completely, Lord God. We love her so, and we would ask in believing that you would raise her up at this time. And just give us such a full joy. Lord, thank you again for this time. We commit it to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.